everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're live. It's on a Wednesday morning. I really don't have an agenda today, so I've got some news items. Hopefully some questions or comments will be coming from the chat room. I've had some people emailing me and saying, when are you going live? Well, so I emailed them back, and I posted on my site that I am live now, even though I really don't have a whole lot to say in the way of prophecy. But I've been spending the summer more or less studying and reading, because it's just really been too hot in my studio to do anything else. To go live, I mean, if I have to sit here and sweat at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. in 95 degree heat inside my studio, that's not really good, because the air conditioner is so loud I can't do a live broadcast while it's on. So it's either suffer or not. But the summer's finally over. The weather's cooling down, and I'm enjoying it. It really is nice to be able to go outside and do something without having to suffer in 105 degree heat during the day. Anyway, enough about why I haven't been here all summer and why I do this every summer. I take a hiatus. Like I said, I just spend more time researching and reading and honing up on my knowledge of history and prophecy. So if anyone listening has any comments, questions, wanted to participate in the show, now is the time. There is a call-in number, or you can also, I think you can Skype me too. Yeah, Skype me at Far Live. It should pop up on the screen, and I should be able to push some pots up to get you on the air, or on TeamSpeak, if you have TeamSpeak. Most people don't, though. But I know one of my regular listeners does. That's Smoke, because he uses TeamSpeak to do a show here 1 hour on Sunday evenings. And I don't know how many people are aware of that, but he doesn't promote it or anything like that. So probably most people on Earth don't know that he exists. And that's fewer people that know that don't even know I exist. I hear about all this shadow banning and stuff like that, and I think, yeah, something's going on here. My YouTube channel is shadow banned on YouTube. We're broadcasting live 24/7 practically, except for this hour, because I'm doing video on my, channel, Prophecy Reality channel. So I do it exclusively during these 2 hours. But pretty much 24/7 broadcasting live on YouTube. But if you go to YouTube and you put in live broadcast, guess which one is not listed anywhere? That would be First Amendment Radio. It's never live according to YouTube, but it's live 24/7. So we do pick up a few listeners that way, but I don't know how. They must go to our channel or something. Like I said, but we're not listed as a live show, even though we're live. Okay, well, enough of that. What do I have for you? Let's see. The HSLDA. HSLDA? That's it, HSLDA. Another acronym out there for your Homeschool Legal Defense Association. They printed an article here, and I found it very telling. Perhaps not for the reasons, or maybe for the reasons that they published it. But public schooling is a pet peeve of mine. Anyway, let me jump into this article. State education officials have asked a Michigan public school district to return $1.2 million that was previously awarded for students enrolled part-time in their homeschool partnership program. And, you know, that's becoming a thing throughout the whole country. Homeschool partnership programs with the public school. So you can get free, there's nothing free, and we're going to get to that point, But anyway, you can get free homeschooling program on the computer with teachers that, I guess, grade you, and the public school does it. They give you a homeschooling program over the internet, basically. Okay, so basically is really what it is. It's public school over the internet. The district also stands to lose an additional $700,000 in anticipated funds. You go, what's going on here? Why is this important? The request, which came at the end of July, places the program's future in doubt. The Record Eagle, we're talking about Michigan, that's my birth state, okay? That's where I was born and lived my childhood in the great state of Michigan. Beautiful country. Anyway, the Record Eagle reported that the Northern Michigan Partnership Program operated as a part of Traverse City Area Public Schools, has been ordered to return the funds over a dispute regarding how the district tallied enrollment in the virtual program. Michigan's homeschool partnerships have raised questions in the past. And anyway, more questions. It seems that the programs are now attracting further scrutiny. According to the Record Eagle, the state deputy superintendent said that the Michigan Department of Education is looking at 10 similar programs. Apparently, the MDE believes that the local schools have pocketed extra funds by overcalculating the partnership program's enrollment. In other words, let's put it in plain English for everyone. In other words, the school districts are stealing money from the state by claiming more money for the program than they're allowed to claim. They're stealing. And they're thieves to begin with. The whole public system, the whole public school program system is theft. And I've stated this before, that I believe that Christians working in public school, in the public school system, are engaged in theft with the government. As all, whether they're Christian or not. But see, Christians aren't supposed to be engaged and participate in government theft. Not when it's voluntary, and it is voluntary. Because you go out here, and the Christian schools in my area have closed down because they can't compete. The teachers make twice as much in the public system with benefits and everything, probably more than twice as much, as their counterparts in private Christian education. So you have to be really dedicated to participate in private education, because you're going to make less than half, likely, than what you make in the public school. So you can see why people gravitate toward the public school system, because of the money. Yeah, they do it for money. Yeah, that's right. So all the Christians, shut up and follow the program. All you Christian teachers out there, shut up. There, you're getting paid off. And the whole program, the whole public school system, is nothing but theft anyway. But let's go on with the article, and I'm going to drive this point home. And, you know, my apologies, not really, to all those so-called Christian public school teachers out there. My apologies to you if you're offended. I'm sorry that you're offended. There you go. But you should be offended at what you've done for all these years, where you sold your soul to the state. Anyway, the Traverse City Homeschool Partnership Program had counted each... Oh, this is it. Pay attention now. The MDE official suggests that each student enrolled in a virtual program should count as 0.15, 15%. Of what they're getting paid for actual physical public schools. They have the buildings, they have the babysitters, the teachers in there, and they sit in class for 6 hours a day or whatever. The students are gone from home for up to 8 hours a day or more. Perhaps six, perhaps a half a day, depending on the grade and whatever. But they're supposed to get 15% of what they get for a full-time student, for someone participating in a virtual educational program. Okay? The rest of that cost, the other 85%, is for buildings and babysitting. Okay, but the schools were charging. This is why they have to refund the money. The schools were charging 75%, only a 25% discount. So, and basically, they weren't following the guidelines. They were stealing. And why not? You live in a culture of theft. The whole public socialist school system is a system of theft. And so it's ingrained in the system, so who's surprised when these people are stealing? And they don't put it that way in this article, you know, that they were... But that's what it is. It's theft. The public school districts were stealing from the government coffers. Okay. Now, the Traverse City Homeschool Partnership Program had counted each student at 0.75, 75% of a live student in a building. So, Michigan's FTE per pupil funding is just under $10,000. So let's just round it off to $10,000. They get $10,000 per student. Some districts are higher, some are less, but we can round it out. That's $10,000 per student per year. Now they're supposed to get fifteen percent of that? Would that be, 10% would be $1,000. So it would be $1,500 per student for the virtual homeschool program. So here's the gist of it for you, is that I can lose my property that I have that I've labored my life for. I can lose my home because if I don't pay the babysitting bill of $8,500 per student, if I don't pay my share per the value of my property in my state, and this goes for every state, for the babysitting for these parents who want to send their children off so they can do whatever the heck they want all day long, whether some of them actually work, but they don't have to pay for that babysitting. Meanwhile, I sent my children to private Christian school or outright homeschooled them myself, and I still have to pay for the babysitting of other people's children under the threat of the loss of my life, my property, under the threat and duress of violence. And that makes me angry. And it's made me angry for years. And here we have this going on in the public sphere, just to verify everything I've been saying all these years. The public school system is nothing but communist socialism. And all of those people participating in it should be ashamed of themselves, especially if you call yourself a Christian. For the world out there, what do they care? Theft is okay by law, and because their God is the state, because they worship the beast. That's what worshiping the beast means. It means that the state is your highest authority. The state is your law. The state is your God. There's nothing higher than the state. So you worship the beast. And that's what the world does, so they can get away with that. But Christians shouldn't be doing that. And it does make me mad. I'm supposed to be in the land of the free. And to think that I could lose my home because I can't afford to pay, or why should I labor to pay for other people's babysitting service? Because they admit here, and this is across every other state in the union, not just Michigan. Michigan is where the controversy is right now, that they can do one student for $1,500 each virtually. And probably make a pretty good, if I had 1,000 students at $1,500, and I would adopt that. I could teach you right now, here, follow the program. It's already been recorded on the computer. We got virtual teachers, virtual classroom. You got to buy the books. No, it's all done virtually. You don't have to buy nothing. It all shows up on your computer screen. And then all someone has to do is verify. You don't need a degree to verify facts on a computer and check them off. Now, if the teacher is allowing calls or, you know, whatever, or texting at certain times with a student, well, maybe they could get paid $1,500 per student. I could see where there could be some cost incurred there. So I see a future where all the public schools are shut down. All of these babysitting centers, because that's all they are now, is babysitting centers. Let the parents stay home and babysit their own children, or let them hire, or let them pay the babysitting fee of $8,500 a year themselves. That's a bargain for babysitting. Oh, that's per student. That could start to add up if you have a few children, couldn't it? So I'm hoping in the future, but you know, it's like this. Even if they cut off the public school, I mean, this should be a good case to get rid of, to take the public school system out of the property taxes, because it is the major part of the property taxes. Now, for necessity, like, what else do we have included in our property taxes? You know, there's some like utility district projects for water and sewer that might be in there. Okay, there's like the sheriff's department. If you have a sheriff's department in your and if you're local government, you have local taxes that are collected by cities that you're in for services they provide. Now, all of those are on top of your regular state. See, I live in a county, and so basically it's whatever county government costs that are added to the state costs and the public school costs that they add to the property taxes. I, for one, don't think there should be any property taxes at all. I don't think anyone should be in fear of losing their property over inability to pay taxes. It should be, I like what the Constitution called for, that all of the states, the state governments, and see, there was supposed to be no direct tax between the federal government and the people. There was supposed to be a gap there. If you want to put a gap somewhere, it was supposed to be between the individual and the federal government. The federal government was never supposed to have anything to do with the individuals. We're supposed to be free from things public. Res libera, whatever it is, whatever the Latin was for that. Res publica libera, or something like that. Free from things public. And that's what we were supposed to be. There was supposed to be this buffer between us, and that buffer was our state governments. And that goes back, that now leads us to the 17th Amendment to the Constitution, something I don't believe ever could have really happened. I don't believe that it was ever a real thing that happened, like the 13th Amendment. I believe both the 13th Amendment and the 17th Amendment were never really legally ratified, because it would require the states to ratify the 17th Amendment. The states would never do that, ever. Why would the states ratify? Why would the states give up all of their power in the federal government? And that one-third of the branch of the federal government, the states had ruling power in the Senate, because each state government selected two representatives from their state, and they could pick those any way they want. They could go by popular vote in their states they wanted, but that wasn't allowed. That wasn't required, but the state sent two representatives to the federal government to sit in the Senate. 17th Amendment says, nope, states, you don't get to select your representatives anymore, state governments. We're going to allow your people to select them for you. So they became super congressmen. We already had congressmen, one for every district, one for every so many people. Okay, that was the Congress. So every district of so many people would get a member in the Congress. And the states would get to select two members. The state governments got to select. The legislature from each state got to select two members to go to the Senate to represent the state's interest. That particular state's, and the 50 states would have their Senate. But we don't have that anymore. We have congressmen, and then we have the Senate that was changed by the 17th Amendment. And instead of being senators, because they're no longer senators, now they're super congressmen. Yeah, you have regular congressmen, and then you have super congressmen, all by popular vote. So I can't even believe that the... this is probably news to a lot of people. But yeah, I don't believe that either the 17th Amendment or the 13th Amendment were ever ratified. And there's a document out there, and I forget what it's called, by research that someone did on the 13th Amendment. Just look up, was the 13th Amendment ever ratified? And I'm sure that document will show up. It was a book or something that someone put together way back in the 90s. But we seem to have forgot all these things since then. And then, we have, speaking of 9/11, that's the date today. Today is November 11th, 2019, and here we are 18 years removed from the big event that changed the world. I remember where I was that day. I was in my living room on my ranch out in Ducor, California, in the Southern Sierra foothills here. And I was had the TV on, and the news was on, and I'm seeing this thing going on, and I'm going, I couldn't believe what I was watching. I thought this was a trailer for a movie or something. And once I realized that was real, I was by myself, but I remember the words that came out of my mouth, because words came out of my mouth at that point. And the words were, this changes everything. That was the first thought, the three words that came out of my mouth when I saw and I realized what I saw on the TV screen was real. I said to myself, this changes everything. And indeed, it did change everything. Because since then, I have lost my right as an American citizen to travel on an airplane. Can you believe that? Okay, well, perhaps we'll talk more about that. Your calls, comments. I'm in the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net. Go to firstamendmentradio.net.com and join me in the chat room. I only have a few people in there. Would like some questions, comments, calls. There's a number in the upper right-hand corner. You can call in if you would like to join the program, or you can Skype Far Live. I think I can get you on the air if we do that. So Skype me at Far Live or call the number there at the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net. You're listening to Nicholas Arthur on Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we'll talk more about 9/11 when we come back from these messages. Don't go anywhere.
First on firstamendmentradio.com and firstamendmentradio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of firstamendmentradio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app. for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. Yes, may the Almighty bless each and every one of you. Thank you for showing up for the broadcast today. There's a few people in the chat room. Need some comments or questions if I'm going to do 2 hours of this. If I'm going to do 2 hours, I'd like to spend like the last hour just talking about prophecy, but I'm going to need some help there. Otherwise, I've got a whole table full of books here. I can pick one up and start thumbing through it. If that's what I have to do. But for this segment, we spent the first segment talking about the public school system and what a ripoff it is. And it's actually just a public babysitting service that hopefully maybe we can bring a challenge, someone could bring a challenge into the court system to do away with public property taxes paying for public schools or paying for babysitting services. I'm sorry, I don't think it's a great idea, and I think the public school teachers have been on the gravy train for too long. Sorry to say it, but and I think the churches need to stand up now and get their game on and start opening up schools in the churches for their children. I mean, the Islams do it, you know, the Islamics do. They got their, what do they call their schools all over America now, where they're radicalizing their youth. But we can't, you know, we can't teach our children. We can't get our churches together in our towns and start public schools that will stick to just biblical doctrine and education, and where you could pay, I mean, what did I pay per month? I don't know. It was like a couple hundred dollars a month when I had my child, my daughter, who's just turned 18 this year, and still with me. It wasn't that much, a couple hundred dollars a month. And that was actually to put her in the classroom for, 6 hours a day. Yeah. And they need $10,000 a year. And I was paying like $250 a month. You know, what does that add up to? $3,000 a year? Yeah. Per student? And they had to shut down eventually. I guess they couldn't sustain it, or I don't know why that school shut down, but it did. It's gone. And then I started homeschooling after that. But I've homeschooled before. I've had other children. Plus, I have grandchildren. They're all homeschooled. So why am I paying to babysit other people's children? People who are being radicalized in aberrant lifestyles in a public school madrasa. That's what they call them, madrasas or something. These are public madrasas where they radicalize people in paganism and, every other abominable thing on earth. And I have to pay for that? That's an abomination. That's reprehensible to me. Anyway, we're going to talk about 9/11 a little bit, I guess. And I was listening to another broadcaster, and he says, he's going through some statistics, and he says, 85% of millennials are still living at home with their parents. That is horrendous. That's just awful. And I'm thinking, millennials, aren't those people who were born since the year 2000? Shouldn't 85% of them be living at home with their parents? Perhaps more than that? Well, you could be 18 years old. Yeah, but not 19, because that was 2001, right? Oh, I'm thinking about 9/11. But anyway, went on to say that all of the children in public school were now born after 9/11 happened. And some of them were just, for the last few years, some of them were just babies. So now they're saying that in the public schools, we're still in public schools. They're going to have a moment of silence over 9/11 so that they never forget. Well, how can you forget what you never remembered? Something you never saw or understood. That way, they can indoctrinate them with the government-sponsored narrative that they've attached to 9/11. Since when I have lost a lot of rights, especially my right to travel on an airplane. Yeah, that's right. Because of 9/11, I cannot travel on an airplane. Even though if they allowed me to travel on an airplane, they'd make me take off my shoes, pat me down, x-ray my entire body. But somehow they're still afraid of me because of 9/11. Somehow I am a threat that I can't even get on an airplane since 9/11. We have lost so many liberties. And that's because I'm not a socialist. I'm not a card-carrying socialist. I refuse to participate in socialism. I have repented. Because when you sign up for the number, when you sign up for Social Security, you are signing a contract. You are giving an oath to participate in something that is a violation of God's law. Me? I can't do it. Perhaps you can, but I can't. Because each one of us have to answer to God. So let us all be convinced in our own minds where we stand and what we're doing that... But let's not be deceived, really. And some people say, well, I paid in. Well, I paid in, too. Yeah. That they stole from me, so now I have a right to participate in theft and what they're going to steal from future or current generations because they stole from me in the past. They didn't save the money for me. You should have saved money for yourself, okay? So I'm how old? Born in 1953, figure it out, okay? I could be collecting. I have a retarded adult son that lives with me. He's 41 years old, I think. Okay, he could be collecting, but he's not. Of course, I'd have to go down and collect for him, but he can't because it's theft. Okay, it's theft. If God can't take care of me and I have to die of hunger, well, then so be it. You know, if I would rather live on the street and beg than participate in government-sponsored theft, and to participate in social communism. I would rather suffer want. And it's likely to happen. But what did David write? I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. David said something like that. I've never seen the righteous go without or begging for bread. You know what? I'll take David's word on it. I'll take God's word. He said he would take care of me. He said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all of the things that you need in this life will be added to you. So I've been doing this for 25 years. I repented, left it behind 25 plus years ago. And all I've done is lost, because now they've turned rights into privileges. It's like a couple days ago, 2 days ago, was it? Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. It was this week. I can't remember what day it was now. What day was that? I think it was last Thursday. So a few days ago, last Thursday, I went to a neighboring town to go to my oral surgeon to have my implant checked out, because I'm getting a new tooth here. And he said, okay, you're ready, and I can get your tooth. So I'm traveling back in my private automobile on the highway between that town and this town, and I got stopped by the highway patrol. And, of course, I don't have a driver's license because the state won't give me one unless I participate in socialism. But since there's no law that requires me to be a socialist and be a card-carrying socialist and have a social security number, therefore, I must not be required to have a driver's license. And I found that to be true. So the very nice gentleman stops me in my automobile. I pull over off the road as far as I can, so I don't want to obstruct anyone else. And he says, well, you don't have a license plate, and that's why I stopped you. He says, can I see your registration and driver's license and proof of insurance? And I said, I don't have any of those things, but I can give you what I have. Okay. So I pull out my travel papers, which is a legal document, telling him why my legal position, why I'm out there, and I'm not one of theirs. And I gave him an outdated passport because they won't give me a new one anymore. I got my last passport without a social security number. And so I gave him that, and I didn't have any registration, but there's the VIN was on the dashboard up there where he could read it. I told him where it was registered and the address, because it was my late wife's car. It was registered in her name, so it would show up. And so I gave him her name and the address, and then he verified all that. I told him why. I says, look, I'm not a socialist. I don't have a social security number. They won't give me a driver's license. He says, okay, well, we can't just leave you out here. We can't just let you go, he says to me. And I said, oh, okay. And he starts walking back to his police car after I give him my information and my passport and all that stuff. And he's walking back to the car, and I yell out to him. I says, hey, I got a dentist appointment at 11 o'clock. So he turns around, walks back to me. He says, oh, okay, well, we'll be done by then. He just got done telling me that he couldn't just let me go on the road. But see, I knew something, that he was going to let me go. He went back to his car, made some calls, had a conversation with his higher up, and he had to change. He wrote, actually was writing out a ticket before he got the call back that he couldn't ticket me for not having a driver's license. So he crossed that out in the ticket. I've got the ticket. And they have a correctable offense and non-correctable. So it said misdemeanor, and it's not correctable, and he crossed it out and the misdemeanor. So he wasn't going to get me for not having a driver's license because it's an impossibility. They won't give me one. I have no tickets. He says, do you have any other tickets? I said, no, I never got a ticket. And there are no warrants for me. I've been arrested. No, I've never been charged with a crime in my life. And so he did put on there that no registration, but it said he put in there not correctable. He says, okay, well, here's a sign here that this just means you don't have to appear. It just means that I gave you this. I said, okay, so I've got that ticket. Requires me to do nothing, go nowhere, correct nothing at all, that he just gave it to me. So now they got a record that I was on the road. Yeah. And so I went my merry way. And I did make my dentist appointment. Yeah. But I can't get on a plane, so that kind of makes me mad. And all because of 911. A government planned operation. I don't believe that anyone was in the air, in the planes that actually hit the towers. A lot of funny business there going on, and the several other planes, and the one that disappeared into the Pentagon. It all went into that little hole. Yeah, I believe that was a missile that hit the Pentagon, not a plane. Because a missile could disappear into a hole, and it did, but that no plane, no 747 disappeared into that hole, into the Pentagon. And then there's Building 7, you know, that some 5 hours later, from a little itty-bitty fire, completely collapsed. So we had three controlled demolition buildings, every one. And you know what? People really did die that day. Everyone who wasn't warned to stay away, a few people were warned to stay away. And I'm sure that those that had their hand in it were nowhere near that building on that day. So all those people were murdered by somebody. And I'm going to say the shadow government. I'm going to say the top echelon of the shadow government would be the Antichrist and his shadow government. Yes, his counter-reformation army. And anything that smacks of the truth, yeah. The Antichrist does rule the world, and we discuss that all the time. And I know it sounds crazy to people coming, if you're listening to this program for the first time, you're going, that's crazy. Especially Christians. I mean, it surprises me that Christians will listen to me, and they'll think, that guy is crazy. He believes the Antichrist, and everyone knows that we can't know who the Antichrist is until they build the seventh temple and he walks in there. You know, we can't know until then. So how can he be talking about the Antichrist ruling the world? Well, it's because I spent this summer reading the entire history of Protestantism, okay? And I just finished it. So I'm back here. I'm finally done reading it. And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it again. Well, I'm going to read each chapter, one chapter at a time, and then I'm going to narrate it on video and on the screen to you, my listeners, and to anyone else. And we're going to do production of it, because I don't have facilities to do a production. You know, I don't have the money or facilities lined up here to do it. But what a read. I mean, just blows my mind. I mean, there were times that I wept reading this history. And there were times I just wondered and go, how could this how could these people, especially the last couple hundred years in the English, the British Isles and France and surrounding, you know, all of that area, Spain to the Netherlands, including Germany, you know, that Western European theater, all that went on there in the last couple hundred years, especially with the focal point being, you know, the British Isles, the Scottish Covenanters and the Irish, and how they vacillated, went back and forth in extremes from liberty to bondage to liberty to bondage, back and forth. The vacillations were just horrendous, and I'm thinking, how could these people let this happen? How could they have liberty and let it slip? And then it would come back. And then finally, you know, the saga ends with William of Orange, the second William of Orange. The first one was William of Orange, or William the Silent, they called him. But finally, Great Britain became Protestant. And with no more of those vacillations afterwards, because of the humbling of the beast, or the head of the beast, you know, that wound that occurred about the time of the French Revolution, leading into the 19th century, those vacillations stopped, The Antichrist went to different tactics with its shadow government, and it's still operating under those different tactics today, where it's hidden behind the scenes and very sneaky. But they have their people in every government in the world. You know, wonder about Jeffrey Epstein. There's a lot of that going on. Who is running that operation? Who's really at the head of it? Of course, the Antichrist and his shadow government. They want to blame it on the Jews or blame it on the banksters, but, you know, it's the Antichrist's banking powers. I mean, do you believe you're a Christian? Do you believe in the book of Revelation? Do you actually believe that the Antichrist at the end time is going to own the monetary system of the world and have it so tightly grasped in his hand that he can require everyone to have a mark to buy or sell or trade? No, not trade, sorry. To buy or sell? So read Revelation 13. You have to have the mark to buy or sell in the Antichrist monetary system. That's what it boils down to. You have to have a mark or the name or the number. It's not one or the other. Everyone's going, looking, they're waiting to get chipped. Okay? So, well, when I get chipped, when they require me to get chipped, then I'll know. No. You already have the mark. The chip is just the mode. Don't mistake the mode for the mark. Now, you could take your smartphone and wave it. Or you could use a chip. Or you might use a card. All the cards have chips in them now, don't they? You could tap your iPhone or your Android on whatever device, or you might enter your identification mark number on a keyboard. It doesn't matter. That's the mode. That's how you access your account. The mode is not the mark. The mark is the identifier. The beast is the government. It's the mark of the beast. It's government identification. And that's why I said no so many 25 years ago to the Social Security number, because I'm going, well, they're requiring this number to buy and sell in their monetary system. That's the mark of the beast. And if it's not, it certainly seems like it is. It meets all of the criteria. And of course, in America, it's a Social Security number. In Great Britain, it's the NENO, or the European number. It's the same thing everywhere you go. You just call it a different thing in different countries and different spheres of the world. But that's what it is. 911 was an inside job. Research it for yourself. Check out architects and engineers for 911. Just put 911 architect in your search engine and you find those guys, architects and engineers for 911. Go through all of their stuff. Look at all of the videos. Look at all of the studies. These people are not idiots. It's not just a conspiracy theory. It's conspiracy fact. See, because the only way that it could have happened that way and not be a conspiracy theory is the government said, hey, we're going to blow up these buildings just to put everyone in line. Then it would be fact. It wouldn't require a conspiracy. But because they're not telling you the truth, because they're doing everything they can to hide. But you know what? You can't hide the truth. The truth is out there for everyone to see. And if anyone wants to see it, especially all you millennials who are still living with your parents, like I said, I hope so, because most millennials are under the age of 18. Yeah. So they should be still living with their parents. And when they grow up and don't go out and get married, they should serve their parents until they get married, until God calls them to do something else. And don't send your children to the college. It's bad enough that you sent them, that they went through public schools. If they survive that and they're still Bible-believing Christians, well, you've done something. You can top it off by sending them to these universities now. But hey, who can afford that anymore? I'm glad they're pricing themselves out of the market. What I'm not glad about is that's more socialism that the government's paying for. And these people are going into debt, and that means that they get to raise the prices, because anytime the government pays for it, you can raise the prices on it. If there was no government support, no government loans for education, these schools could only charge one-tenth of what they're charging. Yeah, if money was still gold and silver, if we actually owned our money, because that's what, in a free country, people own their money. Not in America. Those Federal Reserve notes are not yours. But when the money was gold and silver, you could actually own your money. When you had it in your pocket, it was yours. That's right. It was your money. You could do whatever you want with it, but you owned the money. The value was in it. Now you own nothing. You don't even own your money anymore. Now the epitome of which is digital. Check out my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. And if you check out chapter 12, that is chapter 12 on the Mark of the Beast, you might want to check that out. You can get that online. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org. There's a free ebook tab there. And so, Economist Magazine, the article, starts out there. And then we have chapter 12, which is The Mark of the Beast. So you want to check that out. Looks like I'm going into a break, and I will be back. It seems like I can keep talking and find something to talk about, even if no one calls in. So I'll see you after some news. Don't go anywhere.
First on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Musty Pugh. Today, we remember the thousands of lives lost in 2001 when terrorists attacked our nation, shaking it to the core. More from Gernal Scott.
Dwight Donald Darcy.
They are names that will always be read and revered. 2,606 names of those lost in and around the former Twin Towers are heard on one of America's most solemn days. This day, 18 years ago, changed all our lives, from how we travel to who we trust. This remembrance, marked by moments of silence honoring lives lost at the Pentagon and Shanksville, Pennsylvania as well, bring all Americans together to reflect and volunteer, as this day also has become a day of service to community. In New York City, Gernal Scott, Fox News.
The search continues off the coast of California for the last victim of the deadly boat fire. Jeff Manasso reports.
Efforts to find the last missing passenger who died in a fatal boat fire off the coast of Santa Barbara and efforts to salvage the dive vessel, the Conception, continue.
The Coast Guard will continue working alongside our partner agencies throughout the recovery and now investigation phase of this incident to try and determine why this incident occurred and what we can learn from this tragedy moving forward.
U.S. Coast Guard Captain Monica Rochester, 33 bodies recovered, 27 so far identified. Fire overtook the vessel September 2nd. Five of six crew members were the only survivors. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Focus on the Family is talking about the tiff that erupted around NFL quarterback Drew Brees and Bring Your Bible to School Day. Focus President Jim Daly spoke with Steve Jordahl.
A future Hall of Famer endorsed Focus on the Family's Bring Your Bible to School Day, then was attacked by LGBT groups who say Focus is an anti-gay hate group. Brees, who did not see the controversy coming, seemed to backpedal when reporters tried to peg him to Focus.
I was not aware of that at all. And again, the video itself was just focused on National Bring Your Bible to School Day. It was not promoting any group, certainly not promoting any group that is associated with that type of behavior.
I asked Focus President Jim Daly if he thought Brees threw the ministry under the bus.
A couple of people have suggested that, even internally, but I didn't really feel that way. I thought he was caught between a rock and a hard spot. And I mean, he's going into, you know, the first game of the season, and he's got to deal with all this coming at him from the media.
Daly attended Monday night's Saints game in support of Brees, and while he didn't get a chance to talk to him that night, he has heard from the Saints QB.
I was okay with the fact that he said, keep the video up. I don't want you to take it down. Let's just keep moving forward. I would have felt far worse if he were to say, you know, take the video down, I don't support anything Focus does.
The bigger problem, in Daly's view, is an LGBT lobby that wants to bully Christians into submission despite having achieved their long-range goal of so-called gay marriage.
And we all know it's the law of the land now. We get that. That battle is over for now. They've got to realize they've got to move from militancy to being at the table in a pluralistic culture.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Police outside Houston say the driver of a van transporting young children could be at fault for the vehicle flipping over. Evan Brown reports.
A van painted with the logo of a daycare center flips over, filled with nine little kids, on a roadway in Alvin, Texas, near Houston. Police now say shortly before the vehicle turned over, it ran a red light. The driver of that van is now being questioned. The van was completely upside down on the grass near the intersection. All nine children were taken to the hospital but had only minor injuries and are expected to recover. Evan Brown, Fox News.
China has exempted some U.S. industrial chemicals from tariff hikes but has kept penalties on soybeans, pork, and other farm goods. The announcement comes ahead of October talks on U.S.-Chinese tariffs that threaten global economic growth. American Family News is online at onenewsnow.com and download the One News Now mobile app for your Apple or Android device. I'm Rusty Pugh.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Oh, welcome back to hour two of our prophecy reality edition here. Well, I guess prophecy is history in advance, and we are living history. So I was talking about 9/11, of course, the date being 9/11, just coincidentally. I don't believe that 9/11 was a terrorist attack on America. Well, it was a terrorist attack. Yes, several thousand plus people did die that day. They were murdered, said everyone who was not warned to stay out and out of that area, because some people were warned to stay out of that area on that day. They were murdered, yeah, directly or indirectly, probably some individually targeted, and they had many reasons for pulling off what they did. But this is the intrigue of the Antichrist shadow government. This is exactly what you expect. And like I told you, I just finished reading the third volume of J.A. Wiley's History of Protestantism. And this is the same type of intrigue. They just didn't have airplanes then, but they had plenty of intrigue. I mean, you had like the Spanish Armada. That was intrigue. It was a war on Protestantism, basically, because the Antichrist wanted to rule the world. He was losing ground to the truth, to Bible-believing Christians who were standing up against them and wanted their liberty, their freedom of conscience, freedom to live their lives and to worship God according to their own consciences. And many, many hundreds of thousands lost their lives during this struggle that went on for centuries. Yes, 1,260 years, that's what the Bible says. Yeah, 1,260 years, ending about the time of the French Revolution. Since then, the Antichrist has changed his tact, and now he works mostly behind the scenes through his shadow government, but still the same type of intrigues. And like I said, reading this, I couldn't believe it. But now, you know, I believe what the Bible says will happen, can happen. Will people lose their lives for not participating in the Mark of the Beast monetary system? Bible says they will. Read chapter 13 of the Revelation toward the end there. It doesn't have to say a whole lot. I mean, you've got one book of the Bible, basically, with a little bit of, you know, maybe a chapter and some verses here and there sprinkled throughout the New Testament that supporting the apocalyptic vision for the nearly 2,000-year period that we're talking about since the Revelation was written. So you can't get a whole lot of detail in there. But what you, the little detail you get is pretty concise. I mean, if I open up my e-sword, my e-Bible, and I hope everyone has one and they're making use of it and studying it regularly. And, well, you got a paper one, too. You know, like I have one I carry around in my automobile, take to church with me, and with large print, 14 type on it. I like it. See, I have to wear reading glasses to read unless I get really large type. Yes. But anyway, if you open up to Revelation chapter 13 and you read the few lines, they're very precise, those few lines. So God had to be very precise in the little bit he could write about each era or incident that was noteworthy in the Revelation for our benefit and edification and warning. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So you have the second beast of Revelation chapter 13, creates an image to the beast, a government, basically, a government that looks like the beast. It's an image of it, not it, but an image of it, okay? And that's what the United Nations is. United Nations is an image of the Roman Empire. It's not really a beast power. It's only an image of a beast power because it doesn't have a locality. See, that's something you'll notice about all of the beast powers in the Revelation. If you really study what a beast is, how they originate, what you have to have to qualify as a beast, what cannot be a beast, okay? For instance, we know that all of the beast powers conquered and assimilated the ones before them. Each beast power conquered and assimilated the one before them, except for the last one, that is the earth beast. It doesn't conquer or assimilate. That's because it has its own locality, and it doesn't conquer or assimilate the last locality of the beasts before it, the sea beasts. They all came up in the same locality, so one would conquer and assimilate until you have the final one, which was the Roman Empire in Western in Europe. And especially Western Europe. Okay, so you had the Roman Empire. And that's what all the machinations that we read about in history were about. And who was at the head of it? Of course, the papacy was at the head of it until the end of the 18th century when it lost its power. Its 1,260 years were up. They were up and they were over with. Its overt reign was finished. Now it employs a new tactic behind the scenes. It stays hidden. It doesn't bring attention to itself. It blames everything that it does. Now the blame falls on someone else because it's all done through intrigue. And they really don't seem to care as much as they used to about making everybody participate in going to Mass and participating in transubstantiation and not reading the Bible, of course. Now they print their own pseudo-new translations of the Bible that are a little bit different, a little easier on their doctrine. And they realize that nobody's going to read them anyway. They figured that one out, especially their own, aren't going to read those Bibles. But they hate those Protestant Bibles, the Geneva, and the authorized King James Version. They hate those ones. That's why they made a new King James Version, just a little bit tweaked. But then the newer ones, we've covered this over and over, and what the differences are, especially in prophecy or the obscuring the identity of what the different, who the different characters are. That's why people are so confused. They don't know what a beast is, what an image of a beast has to be. It has to be like a beast, but it has no locality. That would be the United Nations. But he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So there's no one distinct mode. See, these are the modes. The mark is one thing. The mode is another thing. So like I said, you could use a card. You could use a cell phone, a smartphone. You could type your name in digitally, or you could fill it out on a form, in your number, in your mark. Because when you mark something, you're identifying it. And so the mark of the beast is an identification of a beast. And I don't mind having beast identification. I don't mind being identified by the government or with a certain nation on the earth. I don't mind that. But when they say, well, you need this one to buy and sell, but they don't say that. They just make it so. First, they got rid of the real money. The Federal Reserve coup, that's the Antichrist bankers, the Antichrist's possessive bankers that now have control of the money of the entire earth. And that leads me to my next article that I have here. And that article is this one here. And I've heard a little bit of stirring about it there. Maybe I'll even put this one on the screen. And yeah, there it is right there. And this is Mark Carney says, dollar is too dominant and could be replaced by a digital currency. And that goes back to our article that, I put a copy of, and you'll see it on the screen when the commercials run. But the cover of The Economist magazine in 1988. Get ready for world currency, and you see the phoenix rising out of the flames and ashes of paper currency down here. Okay, that's what you see. Paper currency rising out of the ashes of paper currency, and they call it the phoenix, the monetary thing. And it'll be digital, they said. 30 years from now, that was last year, 30 years. 1988 to 2018 is 30 years. Well, no, nobody said that Satan's prophecy would become true or be on time. And when they say 30 years, they were rounding it out. It may take another 10 years. But I'll tell you what, it's happening. There's no doubt about it. It is happening. Oh, that's terrible. Didn't zoom in on my camera there. Okay. Bank of England governor says stockpiling dollars has become a barrier to global trade. Yeah, those dollars, people stockpile dollars. Now, if you used to stockpile gold, that was real money. You had something. Now you're stockpiling dollars, and they got negative interest rates and inflation. So you're losing money by keeping it. So it's not really a good idea. And the reason they do that, because they want to keep them digital dollars in circulation and moving, right? The Bank of England governor, Mark Carney, has challenged the dollar's position as the world's reserve currency, arguing that it could be replaced by a global digital alternative to end a saving glut that resulted in 10 years of low inflation and ultra-low interest rates. So that they're blaming it on people who are keeping it. Now, the whole money, digital money problem is a problem. I mean, how does this work? First of all, governments don't need to tax people anymore. The individual does not need to be taxed because individuals don't have any real money anymore. It's all digital. And since the government is just now borrowing money out of thin air, borrowing it from who? That's the question. Borrowing it from nobody, because nobody, you can't, how do you borrow nothing except digits? Okay? So they're borrowing it from all of the money that's in the bank accounts or in your pocket. They're treating it all the same. Okay? So they're reducing the wealth of the billionaires who are hoarding all these digital nothing dollars. And every time they print, you know, another $1 billion, it reduces the value of all of the dollars that are out there. And, of course, the poor people get to suffer the most. Because if I have $10 billion and I lose one-tenth of my buying power for the $10 billion I have in the bank, does it really affect my life at all? I was never going to be able to spend that much money anyway, was I? Really? You know, so it's kind of like you have fake wealth, but you have more than you could ever want for anything. But so it's diminished, doesn't really hurt you that much, but it does hurt the poor, because it's that wealth to the poor represents their labor, their time, their life for that week, and they're losing it every day. So that's why it's a good idea to buy gold and silver. So make sure you give, and especially now, because gold and silver are still going up. I think earlier this summer, I posted a video that gold is poised to jump $500 to go back to its old high, which will be its new low when it gets there. $1,800 will be the new low, okay? Before $1,200, it spiked to $1,800, went back to down to $1,200, which was the previous high. So the new high becomes the new low. And so we don't know where it's going to spike to this time. Probably 25, some people say 3,000, some people say 5,000. But 1,800 or around 2,000 will be the new low. So get in now before we get to the new low. Okay? Buy silver, same thing, you know, more affordable for us poor people out here. I can't afford to buy any gold myself. I might be able to invest in more silver, but I need things like teeth and new tires for my tractor, you know, or to pay the bills around here so I can keep going on the air. And since I can't really even get a job out in the world because I'm not a socialist and they've taken my right in commerce and travel away from me. I mean, I can still travel on the road in my automobile. It's not too big of a hassle. I mean, people get stopped for tickets by the police all the time. It's no more hassle for me. Honestly, it's no more hassle for me to get stopped for not have a driver's license or even my vehicle registered or anything. And they let me go. And if you're interested in that, you can go to my website at crosstheborder.org there. And I think it's in the left-hand column. Let me see where that is. I get there. It's in the left-hand column, and I'm referring you now to my travel papers. Okay, so you can see what I showed the policemen or the highway patrolmen. But this has to be true, you know, because they have ways of checking on you. On the left-hand side, you'll see some Nazis there and some poor citizen, World War II era, or pre-World War II era. It says national ID cards, your papers, please. Well, if you click on there, it'll take you to a page, and you'll see on that page, it'll say Notice of Right to Travel and Declaration of Repentance. Okay? And that's my travel papers. That's a single space, one page. The one I carry is double space, two page, with an acknowledgement at the end under penalty of perjury, because I've turned it into a legal document. And they know when they see that legal document, they know that this is the first document in a lawsuit. And they don't, personally, in their department, they don't want to spend their legal fund on me. So that's why they come back, even though that officer had every intent of leaving me on the road there and towing my vehicle away and not allowing me to move on because I didn't have a driver's license or present tags or up-to-date tags and registration. He had every intention when he walked away from my window. I wish I had have recorded it. I'm going to be ready next time, but it's been so long since I got stopped, at least 2 years. He had every intention, but when he came back, like I told him, I have an appointment, and I planned on making it, and I did, because he let me drive away. They even had another sheriff's patrol car that pulled up behind him. They were having little conversations behind me about me, and two cop cars there, and they let me drive off without a driver's license, without insurance, without even current tags on the private automobile I was driving. Okay? So when I tell you, you know, that all your fear is in vain, you know, I mean, I never liked getting stopped back before they required me to have a Social Security number, to have a driver's license when I did have one. I didn't like it then. I'd still get that, you know, the hair on the back of your neck stands up and get that adrenaline anxiety rush, you know, just seeing the police in your rear view window. I still get that. Not so much this last time. I just thought, oh man, I know this guy's going to pull me over because I don't have tags or a license plate. So I'm thinking about getting tags and getting current license plates. Let's see how I can do that, because now they, you know, that you have to have insurance and all that stuff, and you can't get insurance without a driver's license. So I'm not even sure I can do it, but I'm going to try, because when they stop me, I want to be able to honestly say, I tried, they won't let me, and that's it. That's my defense, necessity. And I have to go to the dentist. I had to go to the oral surgeon, you know. And I'm safe out here, you know, I'm not hurting anybody, you know, I'm probably safer than most people on the road, so please just let me go about my business. As a matter of fact, that's the first line of my document. It says, now cometh Nicholas Arthur, that's me, a good and lawful Christian man, humble servant of the Most High God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, and declares, I do not qualify for state driver's license, ID, or other travel documents because the state requires me first that I voluntarily engage in business with the Social Security Administration of the U.S. so that I may be numbered by them. I cannot in good conscience apply for Social Security benefits nor take part in any construct which requires me to break the commandments of my God and risk the punishment of eternal damnation. That's my opening line of my travel document. I further declare that I have repented, and that's why I call it Notice of Right to Travel and Declaration of Repentance. I further declare that I have repented of any and all past acceptance or entanglement with any such Mark of the Beast numbering system. Following are listed some of the laws of my King, Yahshua, Jesus, regarding this matter for your consideration. I request that I be allowed to travel and conduct my lawful activities unmolested by any servants of quasi-governmental agencies or other private entities. I wish to thank you in the name of my King, Yahshua, for your kind consideration in the protection of my religious liberty pursuant to your law, as embodied in the first article of the Bill of Rights of the Constitution for the United States of America and the Declaration of Independence, which states that all men are created equal. And then I signed that statement there. That's my first signature. And then I have the list of the laws from the Bible below that. And then on the second page, because I, like I said, this is a single page, a single space document. The one I carry is double spaced, two pages with an acknowledgement under penalty of perjury of the state of California with my signature, because I don't mind telling them that this is the truth. And that this is, that makes it a legal document, because I sign it verifying that this is the truth to the best of my knowledge and understanding of the matter at hand. And so I carry that. I carry two copies so I can give one to the police. I keep this, put it in your record, you know, so you know who I am. Maybe you'll avoid me in the future. I'm thinking about getting a license plate just with my name on it. So, me driving, you know, look me up before you even come to my door. They look me up and goes way beyond God. Yeah, we know who you are. That's what I'd like to happen, at least until they, you know, want to throw me in jail and chop my head off, as the Bible says will happen. And you know, thinking about that, could that happen in the future? When I review history, I realize that anything can happen and will happen, especially if God's word says it's going to happen. Whether it'll happen here in America to me, I don't know. But it's going to happen, and it's already happening in other countries. I mean, I'm sure that you have to be marked in China. In India, it's practically mandatory, though you have people in India like me that are protesting the Aadhaar as the mark of the beast. The Aadhaar is their national ID, biological, whatever you call it, ID. They have a national ID. And they say that it's akin to not having a social security number in the United States to protest the Aadhaar in India. Yay, we got some believers over there too. Just waiting for my camp to get a little bigger with more people in it. Okay, we got one more segment to go. Comments, questions, phone calls, we'll take it all. I'll see you in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The Book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. And, you know, I had to keep that in mind so much as I was reading through the history of Protestantism when I saw the terrible atrocities that were committed against God's people time and time again, and how the nations kept falling, even the Protestant nations kept falling back into, the opposite of vigilance, slumber, perhaps. They lost their vigilance, and they would slide back, and in would come the intrigue, and the enemy would come in and start to slaughter them again, and they would strip them of their liberties and enslave the nations again and again, and just do horrendous things. And you had terrible things like the St. Bartholomew Massacre, 30,000 throughout France slaughtered within some week's time, maybe a month or so. Just terrible slaughter going on. At the same time, this vacillation going on in the British Isles. You know, I've learned a few things like constitutional government. Where did we get that? Can you believe that the Scots gave us constitutional government? And they were the first with their, Presbyterianism? Only meaning that the church was separated from the state. Because you had the tyranny of the Protestant kings, because they weren't really truly Protestant at heart. They were just separated from Rome. But their kingdom became their own little popedom, so they started to persecute in place of the papacy. And so then you had the Scottish Covenanters and their Presbyterianism that rose up and their constitution that required a separation of the church and state at the first, that the government of the church was governed by the church and the state didn't cross over into that. The government sphere was the government sphere and would take care of government things and government crimes and so forth, but there were no religious crimes. That was all handled internally in the church. And so that's where that whole idea originated from, a constitutional government, constitutional prohibition. So you saw, and boy, the Antichrist hated that. So you can imagine all of the intrigue continually going on, getting his people, influencing people in the governments, because people can be bought off. If at heart they're not true, if they're not elect, they can be corrupted all the more easily if their religion isn't internal. And even the best of men can be corrupted. That's why we need to be constantly vigilant. You let that vigilance slip, and then you see the whole nation would slide, and the intrigues of the Antichrist and his shadow government, specifically his Jesuits, would get in there and turn the whole thing around and start killing and murdering true Bible-believing Christians again and again and again. What a horrendous history to read, but what a valuable read it is. And I suggest anyone read Wiley's History of Protestantism. I'm going to post the whole thing on a WordPress page there. But you can read it from the other end. You can read it as prophecy fulfilled in the Horae Apocalypticae. Go to horaeapocalypticae.wordpress.com and read it there as a fulfillment of the prophecy. And you'll see it. It's all there. That's why I wanted to read it from just a historical narrative after, you know, learning how to see it in history. And you see it. It's all there. It's all verified in history by the historicists, E.B. Eliot, and then by the historian, James A. Wiley. Hand in hand, they go together. Verifying by many of the same historical documents and authors, many of the same reference works used for both. History and prophecy. You got to have both. If you don't have both, then you don't understand prophecy or history. And that's what most people don't know, prophecy or history today. If you knew history, you wouldn't have so many questions. You would understand prophecy. And also you would understand what true Christianity is. It isn't just what's new today and what you think it is out there and what's going on in the church. These people are dumb, ignorant, because they don't know any history. It's Jesus said, I will build my church. And he has been building his church for near on 2,000 years. Do you don't think we could learn something from what Jesus has been building for 2,000 years, working with fallible men for 2,000 years to build his church in history, and to see how the world has reacted against that, to see the effect that the gospel has had on the world in that time, to see what happens when nations have liberty, freedom of conscience, and to see what happens when they're not vigilant. And to see what happens when the enemy takes over and gets his way. The Antichrist and his shadow government. Of course, under the control of Satan. Because the dragon gives them their power and great authority. And they act upon it. And their action is death and mayhem and murder. And wars and rumors of wars and theft. And torture, and it's just, you know, I mean, it's all history. Well, I'm kind of disappointed that nobody's participating in the live show here. Not even a comment in the chat room. Boy, I guess either that I'm saying the wrong things or I'm saying the right things, and the world just doesn't want to hear it, and nobody's really interested in the truth. But, you know, it matters not. It's not about popularity. It's not about going viral. If that's what it was about, I'd had quit a long time ago. No, the Almighty, Jesus said that the Father would take care of me if I seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And that is to make it the primary focus. That's what the seek first. It means to make the kingdom of God and His righteousness the primary focus of your life. And that goes against everything in the world. It goes against my Adamic nature. It's not easy. And it's not prosperous. At least it's not the type of prosperity and success that you can get in the world. Okay. And there's nothing wrong with success and prosperity, say in business or whatever, but you can't be true to what God's called you to do and worry about money and prosperity and popularity and going viral. If God is supplying my needs, if he's doing what he said he would do, that all of those things would be added to me. And he's doing it. He's been doing it for all these years, despite the encroachment and loss of liberty that I've experienced for my stand against the mark of the beast and implementing it or going back to it. I can't go back to it because I've repented of that. When you repent of something, you don't go back to it. Or your repentance isn't true. So how can I go back? I cannot go back. And that's why most people probably never can, will never accept. And actually, most people never even hear this message. So through ignorance, they may be excused. And then there's a few, like me, that are not ignorant. They know how hard it is. And I understand how hard it is because I've been living through it. And, you know, just trust in the Lord. I mean, what do you got to lose? Your life. But this isn't it. The goal isn't in this life on this side of the grave. The prize is on the other side of the grave. So it doesn't matter. I mean, take my cue from the hundreds of millions that gave up their lives for the gospel, for the word of God, and for the truth throughout history. They knew where the prize truly was. And this life is not worth trading for eternity. I mean, that's the only valuable trade there is, really. Nothing that contained in this life. Because you can't take anything with you when you go to the grave. You leave it all behind. The only things you can take with you are the treasures that you stored up in the king, in his kingdom, in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said it. Don't store up your treasure on earth where moth and rust corrupts and thieves can break through and steal. But store up your treasure in heaven where nobody can take it away from you. And how do you do that? Well, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You make that the primary focus of your life. When you're at work every day and you're working hard for your money, you are a living epistle. You're in God's word. You're sharing it with people as the opportunity arises. And you're taking a part of your labor in the form of money, at least 10%. I like to give more. I'd like to give even more. If I wasn't so poor, I could give a lot more than that. I'd like to give half, but then I couldn't afford to pay my bills. So I like to say I'd give at least 10%, and I do, personally. I give more than 10%. And I'm not compelled to do that. I'm compelled because I am God's elect, because I love God and I want to be obedient to him. I'm compelled to support works. Like I know there's ministers out there going to the disaster relief right now. And I like to support that and other things, that other ministries that will keep people off of welfare, teach them how to work. And how to live so that their family can survive without the government. Yeah, I like to support efforts like that, and I do. And I need your support. Add your labor to mine. Because I would like to afford a better studio, you know, a better camera. But hey, I'll do with this studio, with my inexpensive cameras and my, you know, $30 microphone here, which a $30 microphone is a lot better than a $200 microphone 10 years ago. So fortunately, some things get better for the same price. despite inflation and our fiat usury money. Well, I hope that that you are have been edified by my time here on the air today. And I don't know if I'll be back next week live or not, but I'll have to plan something. But I do work very hard behind the scenes here, continually. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in running First Amendment Radio Network. And I hope that you all are taking advantage of that. You're listening to it as you work throughout the day, especially those of you who work on a job where you can have your earbud in. And listen on the Prophecy Reality News app, because the Prophecy Reality News app live streams First Amendment Radio 24/7. Okay, you can do it on YouTube on your app too. You got a YouTube app there. Also for people who have iPhones, because I'm not doing Apple apps anymore, because they decided to extort all the people that had apps on iPhone a year or so ago, and I decided not to allow them to extort me. Okay, so I still have my app on Android. They're not extortioning me every year for having a little web page that's available as an app on a phone, because that's all apps are, is little web pages that are loaded on your phone. But if they need to be connected to the internet, you might as well, it's just a web page basically. Okay, that's all it is, and they want to charge me an extra $100 a year to have a web page on their iPhone. So I say, let iPhone die the slow death that it's dying, because it's losing market share every year. So let them die the slow death. That's what I say. Get yourself an Android. I've got an Android phone here. I paid $60-$75 for that can do everything your iPhone can do, which is a lot more things than I ever want to do on a phone. It does more things than I'll ever want to do on a phone. And everything that I do that iPhone does is comparable. So why would I pay $1,000 or $1,200? That's for people who just have money to blow, I guess, or really don't work for a living, get free money from the government, get paid twice as much as they should for comparable services out there in the private sector. Yeah, that's the way the government works. That's the way democracy works. If you can get most of the people working for the government, guess what they're going to do? Yeah, exactly what's happened. That's what they're going to do. And that's why all those poor people out here in the private sector working hard have to keep working hard. Harder than all those people that work their 40-hour work weeks and think that they know how to work. And some of them do. I'll give it to them. There are necessary government jobs, but probably more than half of them are totally unnecessary. And especially the public babysitting service out there. Unnecessary now. They've admitted to it themselves. They can do it for 15%. They can educate for 15% if they take the babysitting centers away. Remove the babysitting centers, and they can do the educating for 15%. That's why I think everyone who wants the babysitting service should have to pay that other 85% out of their own pocket. That's right, out of their own pocket. And believe me, if that happened, you'd see private schools popping up everywhere, because, wow, that would be, the money would be there now. Suddenly, everyone would need schools, and they would have to pay out of their own pockets, and the price per student would precipitously fall. And public schools would be put out of business. And I would like, is there an organization? All of the churches should be working hard to build their own, to take at least care of their own in a homeschool group setting. They've already got a building where they can meet periodically, once or twice a week, and do their homeschooling thing as an organization, and let the parents do it the rest of the time. Even offer babysitting for those parents who have to work, and they can do their schooling there and help administer all that. There are some churches that are doing that. I went to a church, a Calvary Chapel here in Porterville, California, in the town nearby where I live, 30 years ago when my first daughter was young, and homeschooled her through the homeschool organization of the church. And we did that. Why? And I thought, this is great. All of the churches will start doing this. No, it doesn't matter. They can start teaching our children to be transgender now, and we're still going to send our children to these public abomination centers. And the Christian, so-called Christian teachers are going to still stay in there and keep their mouths shut while this abomination goes on. Yeah. Well, I hope everybody knows where I stand by now. I leave no doubt. So all these as Christian school teachers, go to your churches. And you know what? If the churches could support the teachers. No, they have to work for wages like all the rest of us poor people out here. They won't get those benefits and that drive up, that continue to drive up the cost every year, after year, after year. Corporate says, many churches have accredited Christian schools here. And, well, I'm glad to hear that. Many, but not most. Our church pay the teachers. Great, Corporate. Where is this at? What town are we talking about there? Texas. Okay. Well, I'm glad there's some movement out there. And I'm hoping, you know, I mean, since now, especially in California, they're pushing the vaccines. You know, everyone's got to get vaxxed with poisons. And now they're even doing on boys this Guardia thing. They're giving it to boys. It shouldn't have been giving it to girls. Now giving it to boys. You know, it's so they want to poison your children. Poison not only their bodies, but their minds. And they want to rob your neighbor to do it. So we really need a movement there. And once we get big enough, then we need to bring the lawsuit, especially with information like I brought you today, where it only costs 15%. So let's reduce the taxes, the property taxes for schools by 85%. Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? To reduce the property tax by 85% and let people who need babysitters pay for the babysitting and let people in the churches, especially the Christians, go to church and start schooling their children in the church. Get your home school group going in your church. Now, I don't have any homeschool children myself except my grandchildren. And yeah, maybe I just speak and go and talk to my local church about that, but don't know why they're not doing it. I guess because people like me haven't moved on that in their church. But I guess maybe I'm kind of guilty. I've only been going to this church for a little more than a year, and yeah, it's 501c3, and I haven't become a member yet, so I can't vote on anything, and I can't really be a member. Here, I'm a member of the body of Christ, bought and paid for by his blood, but I won't become the member of a corporation. Yeah. So it's a difficulty, but I can look past it if they can. Because I tell you what, if I became the pastor somehow, or I had some kind of a sway in there, which I might, you know, as time goes on. So let's say stick, at least they use the King James Bible and they preach the gospel. I mean, that's the two of the necessary things that I need to sit in a congregation. It gives me something to work with anyway. The one I'm going to now, they don't really venture into prophecy, and I've only heard the pastor say the word, the R word once. The R word. Do you know what the R word is? Yeah, rapture. He said it once. And I'm sure he meant resurrection, so I corrected him on that. Ah, yes, Corporate said, let us be of all one purse. That's going back to Proverbs chapter 1. That's one of the, in my document there, which I just put in the chat room. But you can go to my website if you're listening to this program later on. Go to my website, in the left-hand column, scroll down, at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. In the left-hand column, scroll down, you see Your Papers, Please. Click on that, and it'll take you to it. And I have just run all out of time, so all I can say is may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk on the narrow way that leads to life. Keep your eye on the prize. That's where what we're really after, what is beyond this life and beyond the grave. May the Almighty bless you and keep you.